I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we celebrate the Year of the Rat by bringing you sounds of the Chinese New Year from San Francisco. But first, we've got a treat for you today. She says so herself in her latest movie, Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. Comedian Monique plays a member of a loving but somewhat dysfunctional family in Georgia. Roscoe, played by Martin Lawrence, has become a successful TV talk show host. The hijinks ensue when he comes home from Hollywood for the first time in 9 years to attend a family get-together with his new fiancée. Monique plays Roscoe's sister. And we're going to talk about that and other projects. I'm glad to welcome the star of stage and screen, Monique. Thanks for joining us. It's nice to see you again.
Thank you, sister. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to see you again. We actually met a couple of years ago when you started your program, Fat Chance.
Yes.
And I hope we get to talk a little bit about that.
Yes.
But first, you seem to have a lot of fun playing the role of Betty. Tell us a little bit about Betty.
I don't think Betty's too far removed from Monique.
I'm scared now, but
I know.
Go ahead.
I know, Michelle. That's the crazy part. When I read the script, I'm like, now, wait a minute. Why did they change my name? Because this is not far from Monique. And it was just laugh out loud funny. And Betty Jenkins is the sister, auntie, cousin that you love her. But you get nervous when she come around because you don't know what might jump off. That's Betty Jenkins.
Don't need any truth serum for Betty.
No, listen, all Betty got to do is wake up.
So given that it's so close to your heart, did you have to audition for this, or did Malcolm Lee have you in mind when he created the role?
Malcolm Lee's exact words to me was, Monique, I wrote this for you. And I said, brother, I like it, and I will accept it. Yeah.
We've got a clip from you from the film. Let's listen. Betty's having a little encounter with Roscoe's fiancé. Let's hear it.
Now, see, we're trying to bond with you and everything, welcome you in, but you're getting it twisted. You're getting me twisted, but don't. Get it twisted. This kitchen here is my domain. My domain. This ain't no kennel. And this lab rat got to go. Got to go. Do you hear me? Am I clear? I bites dogs. Know who I am, okay? Now ditto that.
Yes. Did he write that or did you improvise that?
What Malcolm Lee wrote was, this kitchen is my domain, not a kennel. He said, Monique, I need you to get that out. You can put anything in front of it or behind it. And that's how we got to that.
I do have to ask whether Betty would have made it through Monique's charm school.
My ultimate goal being here in charm school is to stay buck wild, but be a better buck wild.
No, ma'am. They'd have put Betty Jenkins out.
Charm School being one of your other projects.
Yes, yes. I actually went and had a meeting, just a general meeting with VH1, and we were talking about Flavor of Love. And I was telling them how irresponsible that was to put that out there on television. And it was number one in Black America.
Flavor of Love being a situation where Flavor Flav is, how can we put this, auditioning young ladies for the role of his sort of consort. And a lot of people feel that it didn't display, you know, the best that the African-American community has to offer. Not exclusively African-American, but a lot of people concerned about some of the portrayals of the women. And you were not feeling that.
I wasn't, because I felt like that oftentimes with those shows, those women are produced. They're produced and they create these situations and they make sure that there's a lot of liquor there and they make sure that there's going to be a lot of conflict. So when they actually brought the idea to me, I said, listen, we can't have no liquor. If you want to make it better, you just have to let it happen. So when I got to do the show, there were a lot of times I had to say, cut, shut it down, and let's go behind the closed doors because you're not doing what you said you was, and I don't want to play unfair to these ladies.
Let's play a short clip. We have a short clip.
I would love to be able to support my children in a more straight-arrowed manner. I don't ever want to have to lean back to exotic dancing.
I just think this is such a test of faith, and I have to face my inner demons. That's pretty scary.
I'm gonna need a psychiatrist for my damn self.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Monique, who's in the new movie Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. It opens tomorrow. Did the women know the difference between the Monique they see on stage and the Monique who was there trying to help them? What would you say, become more polished, more graceful as women?
I'm not sure what they expected, because I think when they saw me come out the door, they was like, oh, ha, 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 this is going to be a funny, great time. I think when they left, they said, wow, okay, she don't just tell jokes. It's something a little different.
Yeah. But do you ever feel, though, a dissonance between the woman you are? You know, you're a wife, you're a mother, you're a working professional, you produce a lot of your own stuff. Mm-hmm. And the characters that you then play. Because one of the things about the Roscoe Jenkins character is that part of the issue in the film is that he's come home having not been home. And there's some feelings about the fact mm-hmm. that he hasn't been home. But in order to do the kind of work you do, you have to leave home. You had to leave home. And I guess I'm sort of wondering whether there's something about the sort of the culture of African-American entertainment particularly that ridicules people who are successful.
Well, you know what? I don't know if ridicule is the word. I think when it's unfamiliar, we're afraid of what we don't know. And when we don't know it, sometimes we'll talk bad about it because we just simply don't know it. You know, I've had people say to me, how could you leave your children? Well, hopefully there's a better tomorrow. Hopefully when my children are 21 years old, they don't have to beg for nothing. Hopefully my children and their children will be okay. And there was a quote in The Great Debaters. And that little boy said, I know we do what we have to do so we can do what we want to do. And I hold on to that. And I say to all mothers out there, to all fathers out there, when you got to go, baby, don't let that thing called guilt creep in because you know what you're doing.
Has that happened to you? People haven't always appreciated what it is that it took to get you where you are?
It has. But I have to just keep going. See, when you stick in it and you try to fight that battle, that's not my battle to fight. Let me keep on going. I'm going to keep on moving forward. If you want to catch up, I'm right there. But I can't go back there and have that conversation with you because you didn't choose to work and you didn't choose to go to school. And you, baby, that was your choice, but this was my choice. And I make no apologies for that.
There are other projects of yours that I wanted to call attention to. You visited a women's prison in Ohio.
Yes.
And taped a stand-up program there. How did that come about?
I wanted to go to a women's prison just to do a stand-up comedy show to bring some laughter.
You said in that program and in other interviews that you're one bad decision away from being in a jail yourself. What do you mean by that?
I think we're all one bad decision. Because when you listen to those women's stories, you go, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. And oftentimes we take and we put ourselves in this place. Oh, I would never do that. Don't you ever say never because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Some of those women are in there because they were defending their children. Some of those women are in there because they were trying to defend themselves. Some of those women are in there simply because they were lonely and desperate, and that equals danger.
I'd like to play a short clip, if I may. And
sure.
This language is a little salty, so I'm going to give you a little heads
little
up.
Spicy.
A little spicy. A little bit from Monique's appearance at the women's prison in Ohio.
For the sister that can sing, can you sing good?
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day.
When you walk out of these doors, don't you look back? Do you hear me? With a voice like that, the only person that can is you. That voice ain't from nobody but God. Can't nobody give you that. Can't nobody train you to do that kind of shit. When you opened up your mouth, beauty came out of it.
I don't want to tell everybody your business, but your eyes are wet. Your eyes
are
wet.
That was Mother's Day. And there was not one visitor there for any of those mothers. And my twins were really young. And I was there on Mother's Day. So it just took me right there. Yeah. And how beautiful that day was. Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to feel about my sings, but it seems to me that part of what you feel called to do as an entertainer is to lift up the kinds of women who are not always appreciated by this society. And one of the groups of folks that you like to lift up are women who are large size.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know, you're always calling yourself a sort of a big black girl and fat and all this stuff, but the fact is you're actually, I don't know, maybe it's just because those outfits you're wearing in Roscoe are kind of tight, but the fact is you're not that big for a big girl. But this is important to you. You've spent a lot of time talking about this, the whole issue of being sort of large size and what all that means. And, you know, Why do you think it is?
Because I'm one of them. I'm one of those women. I'm a fat girl, and I've heard the cruelty. I've seen things that were so unjust simply because I got a double belly, and I refuse to beg you to let me play with you. So let's create our own playground. Do I want to be healthy? Of course, but I'll never be a small woman. My head is too big. Look at my head. Do you see my head, Michelle? I would fall over if. So, you know, I when I get big women to come up to me and say.
That's why you got that big diamond, by the way. You're going to balance it out. I should have put my sunglasses on. This diamond is like flashing in my face. And I digress. But in celebration of large size women, you've had a program on for a couple of seasons on Oxygen Network. You're doing another season of
Monique's Fat Chance.
Tell us about it.
This season is actually becoming a series. And I'm really excited about it because the first three seasons, we did a beauty pageant, we did the fashion show, but now we want to give big women that have a lot of talent the same opportunity. I was over in Paris at the Moulin Rouge, and I was sitting there watching the show, and I said, we can do this.
What was that like as of the, you'll recall the book, you know, French Women Don't Get Fat, that there's sort of a cult of thinness, particularly in Paris, which is a center for fashion design. And, of course, the thin body is kind of worshipped there. What was that experience like? Did it feel, was it hard?
It made me giggle because we get caught up in so much foolishness. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, this is the capital of thin. Who said that? Well, let us show them what it really is. And, baby, the day we took off all our clothes, totally. I'm like, listen, y'all, let's break the myth. Let's kill it. Let's go naked and let's do this. And after I was fully body painted, naked, I put my heels on and went into the cafeteria. I did, Michelle, because I'm like, listen here. Now, I don't need your validation. I like what this looks like.
Oh, my goodness. Yet another difference between Monique and the rest of us. Go in that cafeteria with a designer coat on. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
I did, Michelle. I did.
Yes, ma'am.
And they asked for some salad dressing. They was fumbling and stumbling like, wait a minute. What? I said, baby, it's all right. It's okay. It's all right. You can look at it.
Yeah. What kind of salad dressing did you get?
Blue cheese. Yes, indeed.
Do you think you're making some headway there, though, in convincing advertisers and designers that the larger size is beautiful and elegant and worthy of celebration?
I'm appreciative of the fact now that when I open up magazines, they got some fat girls in there because the average size woman in this country is a 14. So you want to start making some real money? Stop treating us like we're invisible. They're catching on to it.
Well, how's your most important project going, the twins? And you've got an older boy. How's that going?
Shalon is now 17, 6'4". So I'm really like, boy, I don't know where you're coming from. He's incredible and trying to find his way. And with David and Jonathan, it's a joy because it's different at 40. And they're starting to put their little words together now. And David said to me yesterday, hi, Mommy. That was the best for me.
Well, good luck with everything you're doing.
Thank you, sister.
Monique, author, comedian, co-star of the upcoming film, Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. It's in theaters tomorrow. Monique, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
To hear an extended version of our conversation with Monique, please go to our website. That's npr.org/tellmemore.